Woo! All right, so here we are. We're back again. Hope y'all enjoyed last week's episode, and as we try to pour these out to you a little bit at a time, for the most part, I had a great conversation last week about the sports of Kentucky and some of Tennessee. More Kentucky than Tennessee.
It's like we're micro-dosing you guys.
Giving you a little bit here, a little bit there. But what we will do is we'll continue to talk about nothing and keep going that way. I'm going to tell Joy this right now, but in our next episode, we will have taste testing.
Okay.
I have purchased the box from, I think this is from Denmark. So it's going to be samples from Denmark. I've got a guy that I work with. He keeps telling me he's going to send me a Dorito that we haven't tried yet. I'm waiting on that, Isaac. So whenever you get an opportunity, send me those bags. And you don't have to send two bags now because we're sitting side by side. Makes it a lot easier to not have to send him a bag, send me a bag. Now, if you wanted to just send two bags, that's okay. We'll do that. I'm sure that we can find people that'll eat them for us if we don't do it ourselves. Maybe, maybe not.
We'll know what things to dare the people.
Yes.
After we like, hey, try this. Ooh, that's not the reaction I had, but it totally was the reaction we had.
So all good things coming. So Isaac, hurry and get that stuff to us so we can do that. But the next episode, we're going to do a wonderful layout of food from our snacks from overseas. We got a box of them coming in once a month. So we're going to trickle those through the episodes coming up over the next couple of months. And I hope you enjoy that. As for other things, I know we talk a lot about this and that, but we are in the month of October. I think this is probably going to be the last month of October, or the last week of last month. Oh, my Jesus Christ.
Man.
Woo!
Prophecy.
I just said that you're not going to be another October.
It's not going to be another one.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, is this the movie 2012 all over again?
Like, we need to go find the arcs.
And the Mayan calendar runs out. Like,
I know, right? So this could be the last October. Maybe for you. Maybe not for most. But maybe for you. I'm being a little morbid here, but this is the last week of our October. Next month will be our wonderful November run. So hopefully you've all been out and got scared. I think, if I'm not mistaken, last week Big Fat was supposed to be out at one of these hauntings with him and his son doing a meet and greet. It's kind of odd to say that, meet and greet for Chris Ahonen. Big Fat, I mean, I met and greet that boy so long.
We used to meet and greet him every day on the 100 hall. Like,
and then every weekend while he was at the house.
We went, hey, and we greeted him. And then he greeted us back.
And then the roller dome. That was his hang on every Saturday night.
Chris was saying that he wants us to all get together and discuss some of those days of where he was DJing at the roller dome. We were DJing birthday parties.
We did all kinds of crazy stuff, yeah.
And I believe I'm saying it correctly that you had sold a lot of your DJing stuff to Chris.
I don't know about the word sold was the proper term. I think that I left and went into the Navy and Chris just assumed it.
Just take it, yeah.
I think that's what happened. He kind of just assumed all my stuff. And it wasn't that big of a deal. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a lot with it, and here I was in the Navy. I couldn't tote that stuff around. So
you can't take all of that to
Italy. There was a lot of things in Italy. I was there for almost 2 years. The only thing I brought back was my wife. Now, she's not Italian. She is English. We were both in the Navy together. So, but yeah, other than that, yeah, we're going to sit down with Chris in a few weeks and probably a couple months and just have a whole episode tied around the crap we used to do back in the day with him in tow. We need to get another one, Mark, in it because, believe it or not, that was our childhood, hanging around Mark, Lori, Randy, and my sister, and Amy Martin was even part of that every now and again. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot going on down in the days of Lafitte.
Lafitte.
That's where Lafayette.
To let you know where you're from, if you hear Lafitte, it's not Lafayette unless you live in Louisiana. It's Lafayette. You have the French accent there, but Lafitte is Lafayette, Kentucky.
You need to go see the episode, What Are We Eating? Because that's when we did our report from Lafitte, Kentucky. And the big deal about Lafayette is that it was named after a general from Washington, along with a bunch of other things that were named Lafayette.
Marquise Lafayette.
Yep, Marquise Lafayette. And the cool thing about it is I got a, when we did that whole episode on Marquise Lafayette, basically I got a hit from over in France that the guy said, oh, our Marquise. And I was like, man, that is cool that people in France were watching the episode talking about the namesake of the town we grew up in. But if you grew up in Fayette County, or you grew up in Lafayette, or you grew up in Fayetteville, all of these names were named after Lafayette.
He was, you know, he was, whenever he landed on the 50th year anniversary of the United States, in, I guess, in 1826, because 1776 plus 50 years, 1826, he came back over to New York, and there were, you know, 20, 30 states at that point, and started touring. It took him 2 years to tour and see how America has grown in those 50 years. Each place he went to, they dedicated either a town, a city, or a county, or all three to Lafayette. But they said when he landed in New York, so many people went to greet him at the harbor. It was bigger than when the Beatles arrived to the United States, and that was the only thing comparable that they could have compared it to, was when the Beatles came to the United States. But Lafayette was bigger, because he was handpicked by George Washington to as a general, and helped win the Revolutionary War. And then France, they did something similar right after that. They had the French Revolution and went to more of a democracy instead of a monarchy, and
chopped off a lot of people's heads.
They sure did. Goodness. They weren't playing around.
They went one step further.
Don't say let them eat cake and then think you can just say that. Like,
that's not good.
It's not good. It's like, and it's weird seeing Kirsten Dunst play that part.
Yes.
I'm like, you know how this movie ends, right? Like, you're
going to play this part.
Like,
you
know, it's cool when you're queen all at the very beginning of it. And then, you know, the town's been in poverty for decades. And like, read the room. Read the room is all we're trying to say is. Alan and I were talking right before we got on here. And he said that he was going to do a few things. And one fell swoop. And I said, one fell swoop. That sounds like Nate Bargatze. And I asked him if he had ever heard that skit. So you guys comment in the comments about Nate Bargatze's one fell swoop. But in short, basically, he said that his wife was like, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to go out, we're going to do run some errands, then we're going to come back at the house, we're going to do some things here, and then we're going to go back out and do some more errands, you know, one fell swoop. He's like, wait a minute, that's not one fell swoop. She goes, yeah, one fell swoop. He goes, I'm just saying you're wrong about this. That's not an example of one. You're going to be out in the community having one fell swoop conversations and make us look stupid if I don't correct you on this. He said they got into a big argument and they weren't talking to each other. And then, you know, you went to bed. You went to bed mad. And
that's a Tennessee boy.
And you're sitting there like, and then you know you're at that point where you're about to go, hey, I'm sorry about today. But that ain't what it means.
No, that is awesome.
But that ain't what it means, though. You know, then you're back into the argument.
Now, Nick, he is a Nashville native. I think he went to Vanderbilt, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's just a big Vanderbilt fan.
He's a big Vanderbilt fan, okay.
He's from the Old Hickory area of Davidson County, which
Old
is...
Old Hickory. So if he's like from Old Hickory...
Hermitage, Old Hickory.
Then he doesn't belong as a Vanderbilt fan, because...
He does not, but he likes them. And, you know, the Vanderbilt, they'll take any fans willing to cheer for them
and pay money to come see them.
Like, like, thank you. You don't have to go to school here anymore to to be our fan.
What was it they used to say whenever they'd lose a game? They would always say, yeah, we may have lost, but you'll be cleaning up after us. That was their big thing.
Ooh, burn, burn.
Yeah, say, you may beat us in sports, but you'll be cleaning up after us.
You'll be serving our kids fries on our way to a ski trip. Oh. How you like them apples?
Oh, that how you like them apples? That's a
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting, yes. Says, hey, do you like apples? I got her number. How do you like them apples? I love it. Oh, good times. Got to watch that again. I saw that a couple of weeks ago, and I love it every time I see it. But that was written by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Yes.
And if you ever watch the making of that movie, it's a great, great thing. It's so the director that they had chosen was doing the filming, and you remember Robin Williams at the end of the movie comes out, grabs the letter, reads the letter, and says, that son of a bitch stole my line. And that was, Matt Damon was hitting the director in the head, going, that's it, that's the one. Because he came out and did like 10 or 12 takes, because that's what usually what they do is, they'll come out, they'll do a take, they'll do it again, they'll do it again, and so they may say something different every time. But when he said, the son of a bitch stole my line, that's, Matt Damon lost his mind on that one and said, that's the one. And
is that the line where he said, had to meet a girl?
Yep, had to meet a girl. Yep, I got to go meet a girl. So, good movie. If you ever want to see a good thing on YouTube, pull up the making of that movie, because the amount of work that went in, they sold the movie, they had to buy it back, because they were actually going to make the movie without Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And they were actually going to make the movie without them because they didn't like them in that role.
Mm.
But they bought the movie back because...
So they can release it.
Yeah, so Fox...
They can control the characters. Right.
I think Fox is ultimately the one that ended up buying the movie, so that way they could do it. And they kind of gave them carte blanche on who was going to play what parts and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a good documentary. And the other documentary that I will tell you is Drummer First.
Drummer First.
Yes, that is the Phil Collins story.
Mm.
Basically, it's Phil Collins.
About Genesis?
Yeah, it starts with Genesis and how when, what's his name, went away from Genesis, Robert Plant.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to step into the singing role because they were doing all these auditions and nobody was ever cutting the bill. And the whole time Phil Collins was singing with them. And he's like, look, I'm just going to do it. And they let him do it. The funny thing is that if you watch that documentary, you'll find that at one time, Phil Collins wrote the song In the Air Tonight and put it on an 8-track or a cassette tape.
Mm.
And he took it and played it for a producer. And the producer says, do not go anywhere else. Come to me. And then one of the Genesis guys heard the song and he says, Phil's fixing to go on his own. Because the In the Air Tonight was such a good song that he took it away. But the whole premise of this is it's a YouTube thing about a Drummer First, where he wasn't comfortable singing. He wasn't comfortable as a front man because he loved to drum. He even started, he was in another band as a drummer during the Genesis and Phil Collins time frame. I can't remember the name of it, but it was, I think, something about blinds. But he did the drumming part for it, and somebody heard it and said, that's Phil Collins. Because you could tell, drummers can tell who's drumming by the way they hit.
Yeah.
And Phil Collins was one of that famous drummers that everybody knew when he was drumming who it was. And he tried to do that with a group that, because he didn't want to be a singer. He wanted to be a drummer. So he did that in the background. Good documentary to watch on YouTube.
Did it cover anything about that whole legend of him witnessing a murder and seeing the murder in his audience? And,
yeah, that was all a big hoax. The fun part was is that I saw a documentary, or I saw an interview with him, and I can't remember if it was one of those CBS morning shows, and they were asking the question, and he says, it was just really a good song. I don't know what that was. He says, I didn't see a murder. I didn't see a murderer. I just liked the song.
That right there is a perfect example of Mark Twain saying that a lie or a false story will travel around the world while the truth is getting its boots on.
And the sad part about it is...
it travels so fast. All you need is like a little bit of shock to that story. Like, he saw a murder. And while he was singing that song...
he was singing it to you.
Murder was in the audience.
And the sad part is I was going to Christian County High School at the time, and I helped the rumor. Because I used to tell everybody, yeah, you didn't hear the story? Because I heard the story, and I pushed the story. So I was in... They had me so convinced that, yeah, it was a story. But the years later, you find out, yeah, it's all a crock. He just had a good song and liked the sound of it. And then you got to hear the famous, what is it, six beat, do-doom, 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 do-doom.
Okay. This is tangent time.
Well, we're always on a tangent.
Because when you were on Phil Collins and the Heat of the Night, you guess what was popping in my head?
I have no idea. Was it Miami Vice?
Yes.
Oh my God, we think too much alike.
I'm picturing Tubbs and Crockett.
They got a movie coming out in 2027.
They're in a white Ferrari driving through downtown Miami, and it's nighttime. And Tubbs looks at Crockett like, with the Jerry curl blowing, and the wind's blowing through his hair. So basically in the 80s, if you were a detective in Miami, they issue Ferraris.
Is
what they made you think that...
you had to wear no shirt under a jacket.
And it had to have a pink,
yeah,
pink or a white jacket. Things had a lot of turquoise and flamingos going on.
And I get the dress shoes, but my God, how can you chase somebody in dress shoes?
I don't know, but...
they made it look easy.
Tubbs could do it.
Yes, he could. It made it look easy. I don't understand that, but hey, here we are.
That was kind of that transition from Magnum P.I., Hawaii detectives.
So did you hear the story of Tom? Did you hear the story of...
he's 80 now.
Well, yeah, not only is he 80, but did you know that he used to, before he became the detective, the P.I., he was working as a gardener? Even, I think it was a gardener. Whatever he was doing, the first year, he had no money while they were in Hawaii filming the show Magnum P.I. And for the first year, he lived with someone that basically was doing work to be able to stay alive. And then when it became a hit, he didn't need that.
Someone said, that's a glorious mustache on that gardener out there.
Need to put him
in some 3-inch shorts.
Yes, let's
and
see.
And let's get that brown helicopter with the color stripes on it. And we put him in a red Ferrari and a guy named Higgins and an English bulldog. That's the movie right there. That's the movie.
That's it. Let's see, what was it?
Or that's the TV show. Like, we could pitch TV shows
all day long.
Okay, picture this.
Oh my God,
a glorious mustache, a helicopter, scenes of Hawaii, just flying over the volcanoes and stuff.
So he was in a dating game. He was a Rock for Files and Young and the Restless before being recruited into that. So yeah, that was pretty wild.
The new Hawaii 5-0. Did you ever watch it?
I saw bits and pieces of it. I never really... Lord.
Of course, we're shifting now from Magnum P.I. to Hawaii 5-0, but I didn't want to confuse it with the old one.
Right.
Okay, the old one made a catch... not a catchphrase.
What? Book 'em, Dano.
That's it. Book 'em, Dano.
Book 'em, Dano. But then they didn't do that in the new one, did they?
That was your catchphrase when you caught the guy.
But the thing is that wasn't Dano one of the detectives?
Yeah.
So
like, take him to the jail and write up the paperwork is basically doesn't sound as good.
No.
As book him, Dano.
No, but, I wouldn't do it.
But I was on one of the episodes of the new Hawaii 5-0. they're chasing a guy, and they're like, where's he going? We're on an island. Like,
you can't do, you're not going too far. You're going to end up in a circle somewhere.
Yeah, you're just going to kind of.
All you got to do is put five people on five different roads.
That
you're
going
to catch
them. That was the famous line of this one. Where's he going? We're on an island here.
So before that, we were talking about Miami Vice. They're going to try to do a reboot of that show, if you believe Facebook.
Character selection will be the most important part.
Absolutely.
Of having that. And here's what makes me... True Lies.
Right.
They did the reboot, or tried to make a series out of that.
Yeah, that one.
It needed some familiar characters.
It needed another Tom Arnold. Wasn't Tom Arnold in the series as part of that group? But the problem is that you can't have Jamie Lee Curtis and you can't have Arnold Schwarzenegger back in there. So kind of like it loses its luster. I mean, don't give me an oversight. Tom Arnold's a good guy, but you're not going to satisfy me that he's the one. Right.
Yeah, they're older now. He played that comic relief.
Yes. That's all he had in there.
And the Lethal Weapon shows.
Mm-hmm.
The comic relief was Mel Gibson.
Yes.
But then he also had this serious role because his wife is murdered.
Right.
And he's trying to. So they had to bring in Danny DeVito as that comic relief.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah, but I think in the second one, they both tried to do the comic relief with Danny Glover and Mel Brooks. But, yeah, when they brought Leo Getz in there, because Leo Getz.
You want it? Leo Getz. Get it? Get it?
And they always screw you through the drive-thru. That's always a good one, right?
You go in is what you do. Alan and I are about to make you guys go and watch all of the Lethal Weapon shows, because we're doing the quotes from it, and we didn't have any notes on this.
No.
This is a scary thing. This is in our brain still, just like your grandmother's phone number from the 80s.
Oh, my God. 270-271 2532. I think that was my old phone number. That's all I can remember.
Trivia.
Okay, here we go. Uh-oh.
This is the show, True Lies, the TV show.
Who is the lead? Oh, Steve.
Okay, who is he?
I don't know.
Who is he?
Steve Howie?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Howie Mandel's son?
No.
No, I'm just saying. I don't know who he is.
You're about to see.
Well, has he got a ton of... He's probably got a ton of...
He is
Reba McEntire.
He played on the show Reba as her son-in-law.
My God. He was the goofball.
The goofy guy.
Yeah. My God. I would have never put him in there.
Yeah. That's so crazy. He played Arnold Schwarzenegger's role the guy that's, a CIA guy.
That's no way.
So he's got some range. He's got some comedy to him, but also he can do some action. So that was actually a good transition. I really did like Ginger Gonzalez or Gonzaga as the wife.
There.
I mean, and the show kind of picked up. I like that it kind of picked up that they already know, like she already knew he was a spy.
It's kind of the way it ended in the first one, right?
It kind of picked up there, so it's hard to call it True Lies anymore whenever it's like...
It's just a lie.
Now it's just true. We're not lying anymore. I'm a CIA guy, and I'm letting you do some CIA stuff.
Well, the kids were getting lied to.
Yeah, the kids were getting lied to.
So I guess it could be a lie. False lie? No, I don't know. I can't tell you what that is.
It's like Spy Kids.
Spy Kids. Yeah, I mean, I never got the gist of that. I watched it one time and went, really?
Where the parents were...
They're just...
Antonio Banderas, and he was like a spy, and his kids didn't know. They just thought they were boring parents. And
then they found all this stuff, and they became the spy that went... Yeah. And it was,
they had to go rescue their parents.
Yeah, what was, there was another one similar to that. They kind of took the kids as, and I don't get me wrong, I've got a wonderful granddaughter, but you know, Super Kitty, really? A Super Kitty. I mean, I just can't see kitty cats being super, and all they're doing is they're going after.
She needs to watch G-Force.
G-Force. Now I've seen G-Force
with the gerbils.
Yes, Jesus, that is hilarious.
They're either gerbils or hamsters, they're one or the other. But
one of those rodents, because that's
they're
what they
like,
are.
And they have cats and dogs too.
Oh my God, what was the other one? Cat dog.
Where
cat dog. That takes me back to the Ren and Stimpy days.
Yeah. Is that the one where the dog, they cut the head off? Oh, or is that Dog Man?
No, you're talking, cat dog, the head of the cat and the head of the dog were connected together. So the body, halfway through the body was a cat, halfway through the body was a dog.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Don't watch it. It's awful, guys.
Like, I'm going to wake up like this. Cat dog!
The only thing I could think of is, how do they poop? But that's sad.
Oh, man.
It's a child's cartoon, and I'm thinking, how do they poop?
How do they poop?
Let's not worry
especially
about that.
Especially when we just got finished reading the book, Everybody Poops. Everybody
poops.
But what about cat dog?
Cat dog does not poop. They don't go to the... They can't use the litter box, and they can't go outside because
they
got
the legs?
They got two front legs. Two front legs on each side.
I guess. They got a compromise is what they got.
It's a heck of a compromise.
Like, we're going this way.
I tell you,
or I'm dragging you this way.
I watched the show and I just don't get it. I do not get it. If I got it, it would be one thing, but it was something so silly back in the 90s or early or late 90s because Knuckle used to watch it all the time. Oh my God, that was crazy. But
now, we did watch a lot of Roadrunner.
That's what I've tried to, you know.
No lines in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's basically.
Meep, meep. That's all you see. Dun, 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 and a lot of music.
You figured out what was going on.
But it was too violent, so we take it off.
Just by the coyote that, you know, he's building a contraption or he's painting.
Or the first time when Wile E. Coyote does talk, I'm Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote. That was wild. Yes.
He was his middle name, middle initial.
Yes. And he was, I think it had something to do with, he's never going to get that Roadrunner. And he goes, why would you say that? And then he starts talking. And that's crazy. He doesn't need to talk. We need to go back to Acme and just let that be. But you can go buy it. Unfortunately, you can't. I think they started getting rid of some of the violence. And that was what made it fun. Right? I always think.
Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny. All of the WB.
Yes.
Warner Brothers on the WB.
Back when it was good.
That was back before WB was doing Dawson's Creek.
Yep.
Dawson's Creek was probably the most famous show that ever came on WB.
Well, my question is that I heard several, was it last year, year before last, the first Mickey Mouse is no longer trademarked.
The stick one? Mm-hmm. The one that looks like a stick?
Yeah, the trademark had to come off after 50 years.
Oh.
Or 100. I can't remember the actual time frame.
Golly, that was because that Walt did those like in the 20s mm-hmm. and 30s. You know, it wasn't until 1955 they did the Disneyland theme park.
Disneyland theme park, right. So it told me that copyright laws do go out. So just think that if we were to live 50 years, Joey, we could actually...
Nonsensical talk done by other people.
Yeah, nonsensical talk not only done by other people.
It already is. It's done every day by you guys.
Yeah, you talk crazy.
And we're just part of you. You know, we're like David Pumpkins. What is it? And what are you guys? We're part of it.
You guys.
It's David Pumpkins, man.
So...
Saturday Night Live. Tom Hanks.
Yep, I'm trying to... That's what you... God dog.
You see how brain works
takes,
right there?
That takes me away. Bam, out of it. Oh, my God. And then what is it? So now they've got, if you go through Facebook and you're scrolling through the reels, there's always like a Kenan and Peele and a Saturday Night Live skit. And oh, my God. If I have to hear different variations of the Aaron, it's the first one was great. The second one, they're grabbing. The third one, yeah, I'm done. Now they started doing it to football players and basketball players. Mm-hmm. They go out and do that. I'm like, come on, guys. The skit was great. Let it be.
The one skit of the football player where I was watching a behind the scenes of Key and Peele.
Yeah.
And he was and it was Michael Key explaining that that Jordan Peele came to him one day and said, there was this football player on television last night, and his name was like DeBrickishaw something. And he goes, isn't it crazy? And Michael Key was like, let me tell you about this thing called the SEC. There are some of the craziest names of players. And so he said that Jordan went away from that conversation, came back the very next day and wrote the script for every one of those names and said, and he made up every name. He said, he's really big on, you know, sounds and comedy and basically, you know, you have the AFC team. He said, and it was Michael Key's idea, said, we've got to have one white guy's name in there, like Dan Hall or something like that, or Dan Smith or something. It's got to be from Utah.
Right.
But he wrote that every one of those names and just handed it to him. He goes, you did this last night. And Jordan Peele is just like highly intelligent.
Yes.
And his films are like, I mean, you can just tell that he's constantly thinking about light angles and the script. And I mean, so I started thinking about, it's funny that you brought up some of the Key and Peele stuff, because I was thinking about some of the scariest movies that Jordan Peele dreams up.
Oh my God.
And you know, when you're like being kidnapped and they taking the personality part of the brain of an elderly person and putting it in a younger person. I mean, golly. Or Get Out. That's it. Get Out.
Get Out.
And,
Get Out.
Or Nope.
Nope.
I mean, Nope. What a title. I mean, it'd be great just to hear about how that title was.
See, Nope. If I hear Nope, the only thing I can think about is Parks and Recreations. Leslie Nope.
K-N-O-P.
K-N-O-P. W-K-N-O. What was that? The Great Turkey Drop. So we're getting ready. We got Thanksgiving coming up shortly.
WKRP in Cincinnati. WKRP
in Cincinnati, baby.
They've got those t-shirts out now that you can say WKRP in Cincinnati, Great Turkey Drop, Thanksgiving.
I'll go put it on for our next episode.
You got it?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I've got it.
Oh, my gosh.
I also got one of the shirts from one of the Nashville radio stations. Can you take a guess of which one it is?
KDF.
Yes, I got the KDF t-shirt.
Remember that was the skyline of Nashville for you folks that are new to Middle Tennessee, and you see the Batman building, you see the LNC Tower has been there historic a long time. That's,
right.
That's an iconic building, but for years, for decades, it was KDF. You would see those letters.
As you
and
drove
that
down
was
20.
A rock station.
Yes.
KDF played Kiss and played...
That's when Kiss was rock, okay, guys. You've got to realize this is back in the day. This is when Kiss
they
was...
They played Alice Cooper and Black Sabbath. You turned on KDF, it was rock. It was Metallica and maybe some of... some of the, who am I thinking of, Alan, that Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses were as a matter of fact, when KDF,
they were almost too mainstream for KDF as Guns N' Roses was.
And also, Guns N' Roses came out at a time when KDF was at their apex, and then they started going down, and then they went, I think they went country.
They went country, and then that changed it, and that was during that where country was turning more pop, like with Garth Brooks.
Yep.
It was less country western. It was
pop country is what they used to call it. Pop country.
Yeah.
Which Dolly is what Parton, you got now.
9 to 5.
Yeah.
That was pop country.
That's pop country. Shit. A lot of stuff.
Two Doors Down.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the stuff that came out that was pop country, if you didn't.
Bop.
Yeah.
Dan Seals.
The thing is that if you didn't have like a Hank Williams, and I'm not talking about Junior. I'm talking about the original Hank Williams, Porter Wagoner, all those people that were back in the day, String Bean. Those guys were, that was your true country. And now country pop is what they call true country. And I don't get it, but I get it because the things do change. I still look at Black Sabbath as, you know, pretty heavy rock, but now they're just classic rock, right? You mean, listen to Black Sabbath, they're like War Pig. Arr! You know, it's like, what? And everybody else is like, well, that ain't rock. Then you have to listen to, like, what is it, Nine Inch Nail? You know, you start listening to them, and you're like, okay, now that's heavy.
I saw where Nine Inch Nails is the soundtrack for the new Tron movie.
Nice. Yes, Tron is coming out with and I did see the previews.
And
to
so
that.
It's got the Nine Inch Nails logo.
Nice.
On the movie poster.
Really? I like that.
NIN?
Yeah.
And then it started playing some of the music, and I was like, oh my gosh. you're watching Tron, but listening to Nine Inch Nails. As these Tron vehicles, these light bikes are being chased by a police car, and a light beam just cuts the police car in half and
cuts it down the middle.
Basically, the new Tron movie is where all of those things come into the real world. They come into our world, and they're like, "What are these things?"
It's like the Matrix Part 2, whenever Neo can control stuff out of the Matrix. That's what this is. They're now bringing Tron out of the game field and putting it into the real world. So I hope you enjoy that.
That's like the fourth wall.
It is.
Like I'm talking to you right now. That's the fourth wall right there. It's like nice shirt.
Oh, and if you have on a bad shirt, then it's not a nice
still,
shirt.
No shirt.
Ooh, like Lord. Put your shirt on.
Put your shirt on when you're frying bacon. You know, like, gristles.
Yes.
You'll have pains or little red dots on you.
Yes. It's what was it? Somebody said, yeah, you don't fry bacon in the nude.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yes. So don't.
You don't go to a urinal with flip-flops on.
You just don't do that.
or a busy urinal trough with flip-flops on.
Yeah, because if you're standing there with a bunch of guys and
you're like, I'm going to wait till you guys all get done. Oh, I made a poor wardrobe choice of coming to Disney today with
flip-flops.
With just flip-flops on.
And, or Crocs, and because they do. There are.
I wanted to be comfortable and cool, you know. I didn't want my feet getting hot, but I don't want them getting wet either.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so let's tell all of everybody, you know, that, you know, come back to the next show. We're going to talk a little bit more. This one right here,
the next show, you know, I will have already been to Disney World.
Ooh,
and so our last episode, I had a, if you're watching on YouTube, I had it says Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. Carousel Progress is like one of my favorite theme park. It's not really a ride, it's slash show, but you're watching different scenes of the American family going through the 19th century. And so my family and I always go on fall break go to Disney World. And so
are the kids coming, or are they're out?
So Molly's still in college, but a lot of times we fly her down midweek. But Heather and I, we'll go and do some cool things like
when it gets
we
fun.
Basically it turned into, we weren't taking the kids to Disney World. we were going and y'all can come along, is because
that's kind of what we did with our empty nest syndrome, is
like, we like to have fun. We like to,
we're going
to
go do our own thing and y'all can do what you want
to
do.
You
and
can
we'll
hang
be up
back
here
at the villa if you want to while we're at the park. And
so the first vacation that me and my wife went on by ourselves, that was a trick, because it was so used to around the kids that now it's not about the kids anymore. It's not even, it's about us, and I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So, hey, he's going to Disney. We're going to come back and do another show, and hopefully we're going to do this food thing. Remember, I don't know. I can't remember. I think it's like I was going to say Delaware. Holy crap, is that another country? That's another country.
Delaware. You know what? That reminds me of Wayne's World. Hey, we're in Delaware.
There we are. Oh, my God. Have a great time, and we'll see you next time.
Take care of one another.